Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. If I said to you this morning there is a link between Pentecost and our national elections, you might wince. And you might think, the last thing I want to hear about on Pentecost is politics. And that would be the last thing I'd want to talk to you about today, too. That's not what I mean. With all that rancor and division of our political process as we try to choose our presidential candidates, Pentecost is a vision of just the opposite. Pentecost is a vision of unity. That's one of the first dimensions that we are given as we celebrate this feast today, and it's given by St. Luke in that first reading. The vision that Pentecost is a feast of unity for all humankind, and that it's worth comparing this vision with other visions that we hear or will be hearing in our world today, including our national politics. But in that first reading, St. Luke shows that on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit burst upon the apostles with the vision or the sound or the image of wind, and then the fiery tongues that inspired the fiery tongues of the apostles. So they went out and preached, and wondrously, although they all preached their Galilean dialect, everybody from all of those almost unpronounceable places in the world in our first reading were listening and hearing them in their own language. So what Luke was showing was this is a reversal of that story from the Hebrew Testament of the Tower of Babel. Remember, humankind was getting proud. They wanted to build to themselves a huge tower, but God sent down upon them a spirit that twisted their tongue so nobody could understand each other. They babbled to one another, and the whole project fell apart. And humankind went out in different directions. Pentecost, in Luke's vision then, is the reversal of that, so that all humankind listens to one language, the language of love, inviting them to become members of one kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus had preached. And there's a goal then and a vision here in that first reading, that goal and vision of unity. That's why this Feast of Pentecost is so important for you and me today. It's important that we understand it as a celebration of the future and as a challenge of the present. It would be sad if we celebrated it as an event of the past and made it too personal and individual a celebration. Our national elections are one opportunity to put our Pentecost spirit and vision to work. That is, to use the gifts that you and I have received to help us determine how to vote this year, what candidates to support, what efforts to promote. There's no longer a Catholic vote, as Sister Simone Campbell, who's the director of Network, said. She recently wrote, "Pope Francis," she said, "calls on all of us to meddle in politics." And he says, and this is a quote from Pope Francis, "A healthy politics is sorely needed." And then she continues, "As we work to mend the gaps in income and wealth, and address the gaps in access to democracy, health care, citizenship, and housing. In this year of mercy, our votes will stretch far beyond our self-interest to the common good as we turn and count and vote for the needs of those who are most often left out of our care. We will be called the Pope Francis voters. So it's not so much, as she said, a matter of a Catholic vote, or not so much a matter of a politics that seeks power, but a matter of a Pope Francis vote that seeks the kingdom, the values of the kingdom, and the vision of Pentecost. That's one vision or dimension of this feast today. Another insight is, its meaning for you and me today, because if the Holy Spirit's task is to renew the face of the earth through us, then that puts a whole new perspective on our care of the environment. It's a different spiritual and moral, a Pentecost perspective. Pope Francis showed in his document Laudato Si about the environment that the effects of our not caring for our environment are especially devastating for the poor as well as for the rest of us. Pentecost calls us to examine our personal lifestyles, our family lifestyles. Are we consuming too much? Are we wasting too much? Are we throwing away too much? Are we buying things made from slave labor in other countries because they're cheaper? You know, we heard just this last week a discouraging news that there are thousands of children, Syrian refugees, that are being exploited in clothing factories in Turkey and in Lebanon. They won't hire their parents, they hire their children because they're cheaper and they can be exploited to make the kind of designer clothing that is sent to countries like ours. Do we hear the call of Pentecost to broaden our idea of the body of Christ, as Paul reminded us in that second reading, to see our relationship to all creatures, but especially to the human creatures with whom we share our human nature, to see them as brothers and sisters, especially the poor and the exploited, so often harmed where there is no true renewal of the face of the earth. As a study just announced a few days ago, saying that pollution's getting worse in our world and the poorer countries are suffering the most. One lady who found that out from her own experience was Leanne Walters. One night, she heard her 18-year-old daughter, who was taking a shower upstairs, scream. So she ran up to see what was wrong and saw her daughter staring at a clump of long brown hair that had just fallen off of her head. Leanne was startled, but she wasn't surprised, or just because her 3-year-old twins had been broken out in rashes all over, and her 14-year-old had been taken to the hospital a couple times with severe abdominal pain. Leanne, a 37-year-old mother of four and wife of a fellow in the Navy, as you may have guessed, was from Flint, Michigan. In January, a year ago, when Flint's mayor declared that the water is safe to drink, Leanne and some others calling themselves water warriors protested and marched in front of City Hall, staging regular protests there. So it's in no small part to her that the Flint situation is now a full-blown national scandal. By her persistent efforts, which still continue, she's considered the mom who exposed Flint's toxic nightmare. Was that the work of the Holy Spirit? Last week, President Obama visited Flint. You may have seen on television. First thing he did when he got there was ask, "Where is Mari?" A little 8-year-old girl named Mari Kopany had written a letter to him inviting him to come and help them out. So when he said, "Where is Mari?" she came running up and he grabbed her in his arms and she said, "I wrote a letter to you." And he said, "I know you did. That's why I'm here." Later that day on television, Mari said, "This shows that even a little 8-year-old girl can change the world." Amen. Not amen to the sermon, but I mean amen, yes. So the Feast of Pentecost is not so much a celebration of the past as it is a challenge of the present. It's a mind-blowing vision, a dream, and a promise. A promise that the Holy Spirit is given to us, to you and me, again and again and again. A promise that the Holy Spirit is truly renewing the face of the earth. But it's also a challenge because the Holy Spirit is choosing to renew the face of the earth only through us. So maybe today we could take courage, despite all the tensions as we prepare for our national elections, despite all the bad news about wars and terrorism and huge fires and floods and tornadoes and pollution, that there's still an overwhelming hope as we continue to work for the coming of the kingdom in so many different ways. And the name of that hope is the Holy Spirit. That's what we are celebrating today. Amen. And that amen is for real.